was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. Distant sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark.
Welcome, Resurrection Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacoubara Stewart, and finally, we have Lori Anderson back. We'll be having a guest that is going to be speaking on right to travel. We're going to be getting back in a little bit of the meat and potatoes of what we really usually do. I know that the election has gotten everybody fired up, and we're still going to be covering some national, or if you can call it that, union issues of this corporation, however you want to call it, man. It's such a psychological operation that people think it's a country. But anyway, we're going to be covering some of that. The first clip I want to share with you tonight is a CNN slam on a Trump chief of staff pick. This is a critique both on CNN as well as the Breitbart reporter that is defending Bannon as Trump's pick. Now, I want to be fair and balanced, so I have a little bit of an issue with them both. However, more with CNN, of course. So if you can, roll clip one.
Thank you very much. I want to bring in now Kurt Bardella, is a former spokesman for Breitbart, and Evan McMullen, the independent presidential candidate. Sorry about that, Evan. But before we get to them, I want to start with Joel Pollack. Joel is a senior editor-at-large and in-house counsel for Breitbart News. Thank you, Joel. Thank you to the entire panel. But Joel, I'm going to start with you. Who is the real Steve Bannon? Is he an anti-Semite, a white nationalist, a misogynist, as many believe?
As many believe. Actually, as many don't believe, it's actually how as many propagandize, because now the attack is on. You have an Orthodox Jew sitting here defending this man, but that's not good enough. Not even for Don Lemon. These people are just unscrupulous, and they will continue with their attacks no matter what. Now, I'm one of those conservatives that's not all about defending the nation of Israel with every single step, because personally, I believe in America first and no other country first. That's just me. I don't know. That's just me. However, it doesn't mean I'm anti-Semitic. I grew up in a household. Half of us were married into Jews and everything. I don't have a problem with that. But look, when it comes down to it, the United States needs to come first we need to come first. And not for anything, but you can take these Chuck Schumers and send them back to Israel with their dual citizenship and try and tell them to open up the floodgates of immigration and not require IDs for voting and all of that stuff and see how well it goes over there. So I'm just saying, when it comes to Breitbart, however, they are a lot more pro-Israel than I would ever be. So to make an accusation that Breitbart or any of its major staff members are anti-Semitic, it's a joke. It is just an absolute flat-out joke, and only CNN and or CIANN would push that Operation Mockingbird narrative.
Well, the first thing to acknowledge is that Steve Bannon is a national hero. Because of Steve Bannon and Kellyanne, they saved Donald Trump's campaign, and they helped him win the White House. And as a result of that, we're going to see Supreme Court appointments of individuals who will uphold the Constitution. And for that, America owes Steve Bannon a great debt of gratitude.
Yes, America owes him a debt of gratitude. And all of the liberal, progressive, regressive communists are, of course, going to come apart at the absolute seams and want to attack him just for that reason.
No, he's not an anti-Semite. He is a person who treats all people equally. You can see I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm very observant. I keep the Sabbath. I keep all the Jewish holidays. I keep kosher. Steve and I have worked together in close quarters for 4.5 years, and he's always been very sensitive to Jewish concern. And I have to fact check Tom Foreman there. You know, if you're going to report something, you have to get the facts right. Breitbart News has nothing to do with birtherism, absolutely nothing. And I can tell you that firsthand because I'm the person who reported on some of that phenomenon.
That's what actually leads me to my little problem with our little friend here with the funny hat. Just saying, the reason that I have a problem with him is that he reported on that phenomena like it was a phenomena. Well, anyone who knows anything about Sabarka and the Sabud cult knows that there is far more to Obama than meets the eye. There is far more meaning that he was most likely a Manchurian candidate. He was backed by the Rockefellers. He was created, in fact, Frank Marshall Davis, the whole nine yards. He was literally a Marxist communist that was set up. He was raised inside of Islam in a school that was pretty much a progressive Islamic school, if you could have both those things and have any sensibility to it. But anyway, just saying, you know how the regressives make no sense anyway. So here I want to illustrate to you, because everybody who listens to RBN and our network knows that while we are conservative and while we are mostly Republican and stand for the Republic form of government, we also point the finger very closely at these things, such as the Sabarka cult and that gave rise to the whole situation behind Lorena Fuddy, who mysteriously died in a plane crash, and that was the person that was in charge of vital statistics in Hawaii, who was a member of the same cult in Indonesia that Obama's mother was a part of. So while this guy has reported deeply on birtherism, it makes you wonder exactly, are we dealing with controlled opposition with Breitbart? I don't know. However, Bannon has been pretty much a straightforward individual. Is he surrounded by wolves, or is he really truly a voice of truth? That remains to be seen. But for all of the policies that Trump stands for right now, well, no, I'm not going to say all of. Stop and frisk is really kind of absolutely disturbing. But anyway, for most of the policies that Trump stands for, I pretty much go along with. But we are going to be keeping a very close eye on these things because, as we know, always their feet needs to be held to the fire of truth.
In a heavily resourced and documented article at AmericanThinker.com titled Barack Hussein Sabarka by Jason Kissner, we find some amazing discoveries regarding the identity problem of Barack Hussein Obama. Jason Kissner is an associate professor of criminology at California State University, Fresno.
Not exactly some fly-by-night, not unknown person there, right?
Following is an edited synopsis of that article with an absolutely surprising find by the P.P. Simmons staff at the end of this video. One of the unexplained mysteries in the all-but-missing documentation of the early life of Barack Obama is the appearance of the name Sobarka as his last name on an official document filled out by his mother. We are in possession of Stanley Ann Dunham Sotoro's 1968 application to extend her 1965 passport for an additional 2 years.
Explain to me one liberal who has responded to that, or neoconservative for that matter.
Her passport, by the way, is now reportedly destroyed. On the second page of the application, Ann Dunham attempted to exclude her son Barack Obama, or Sobarka, from her passport. But the item has been crossed out, perhaps on the advice of the consulate in Jakarta, as this would have left 7-year-old little Barry passportless. So the exclusion did not happen.
I really am rather sick at all of these people that would try and say that all of us are just crazy about all this stuff, and it's just all figments of our imagination when there's so much evidence to prove that there's so much absolute nonsense here that there's something to be concerned about. You know, it's only the presidency of the United States, for Pete's sake, and the one that issued his birth certificate happens to go down in a plane crash not long after. Gee, wonder how that happens. And she's the only one that died. Yeah, gosh. You people, I hope you're not believing that kind of stuff. But anyway, here's the thing, man. You got to stand by people who tell the truth, regardless of whether they tell the truth and they're part of organizations that, you know, that are somewhat controlled. You know, Breitbart, I don't know. I know that this fella that Trump picked, he's not what they're saying that he is, so that's enough for me for a reason to stand up and at least protect him for the truth.
1,000 members worldwide. Fuddy's cult member name was Deliana. Her official position was regional helper. Note also that the World Sabood organization seems to have been based in, of all cities, Chicago. Wow, think about it. Indonesia, Chicago, Hawaii, three locales linked directly and very importantly to Obama's life. We also know from a Hawaii Advertiser article that Sabood was introduced to Hawaii in the 1960s. Obama's mother was directly linked to Sabood by her biographer and New York Times reporter Janie Scott in the book A Singular Woman, The Untold Story of Barack Obama's Mother. This book was reviewed by the New York Times, so this is a heavily documented fact. Loretta Fuddy worked her way up the ranks and became chairwoman of Sabood USA, based in Seattle, from 2006 to 2008. But note that of all the persons that could have been installed as director of the State Department of Health in Hawaii, Hawaii chose Fuddy, a leader of a small cult with roots in Indonesia and connections to Barack Obama's mother. Secondly, remember that Fuddy assumed the directorship position in Hawaii in January 2011 after being appointed by Hawaii's governor just a few months before the release of Obama's long-form birth certificate. Changing one's name for spiritual reasons was something frequently done by followers of the cult Sabood. And Stanley Ann Sotoro was, in fact, closely associated with Sabood. We know that. It is reasonable, then, to suppose that Sobarka, the name chosen for Obama on that passport, arose in the same way new names for others, like Deliana Loretta Fuddy did. But remember that the name Sobarka appears in the passport renewal section labeled Amend to Include or Exclude Children. The name Barack Hussein Obama Sobarku is crossed out. This signifies that Obama's mother had apparently decided to exclude Barack from her passport renewal. Apparently, Stanley Ann Dunham Sotoro changed her mind about the exclusion. Perhaps this was done after having been informed by the consulate there that doing so would leave Barack without a passport. But there is another possibility, one just as valid and even simpler. What if Obama's mother was trying to include Obama in the renewal, but she wasn't able to produce a birth certificate? And the Sabood name Sobarka simply did not suffice legally. That could explain why the name Sobarka appears nowhere else in any of Obama's documentation of which we are currently aware. But now for the real shocker in this entire matter. The staff at P.P. Simmons did some research and found an old picture of the founder of the cult of Sabood, one Mohammed Sabu
Sumo Hadi Wijojo. Do you see anything odd here?
I'm looking at the picture right now, and they are dead.
Think about
ringers.
It.
I'll
Fuddy,
be posting this.
Obama's mother, Dunham, Sabud, Hawaii, Chicago, Indonesia, no birth certificate, Subarka on the passport, a dead Hawaii Department of Health director, the one who conveniently certified Obama's forged and fabricated long-form birth certificate. Are all of these simply odd coincidences?
And you have to make sure that you tell your viewers the truth about this.
Yes, we'll discuss that with Kurt as well, who is a spokesman, in just a moment here. But you said he's not an anti-Semite. Is he a white nationalist? My question, a white nationalist, a misogynist, or even bigoted in any way that you know of?
Not at all. Steve Bannon does not have a bone of prejudice in his body. And in fact, Steve Bannon went out of his way at Breitbart to look for talent among non-traditional conservatives, just like Andrew Breitbart had championed the cause of black conservatives, Latino conservatives, women conservatives. Steve Bannon did the same thing, and he brought people on board. You know, I see Kurt there on television. He's an Asian American conservative. Here we are, an Asian American conservative, an Orthodox Jewish conservative, both of whom worked for Steve Bannon. And the question is whether he's a white nationalist. I think not.
Well, then why traffic in that if he's not? Traffic in that?
Really?
Even more insidious if he's not, but then he traffics in it?
Do you hear the terminology here? Traffics insidious. Wait, the alt-right does have factions within it that add to it that are white nationalists. I share things within the alt-right, and I am not a white nationalist. In fact, I stand against the whole white, black, red, pink, purple, polka dot, all of that Marxist nonsense. I look at us all as being Americans. However, there are many in the alt-right who are stark constitutionalists. There are some that are white nationalists. That is true. There are some that are flamboyant homosexuals, like Milo. You see, the problem here is with these types that try and divide us because someone else takes interest in a cause or takes interest in a portion of what we take interest in. So they try and smear the entire thing by using terms like traffics and insidious. This is a typical divide and conquer tactic. But if you use that same idea with the left, with, you know, the Black Panthers who stood outside of voting places with sticks during the McCain election, the McCain standing against Obama, that election, of course, that doesn't fit the narrative, so that doesn't count, and things like that. So you're getting the point. The same with the oink oink bang bang. They're leftists, but of course this progressive won't wear that. No more will we in the alt-right. I will stand with alt-right, and I will tell you, I don't take part in any of that KKK or white supremacist nonsense. There is no one that's supreme above the other except Jesus Christ, maybe. That's what the real truth is here. The smearing of Christianity. They love doing that, but hey, that's not the subject tonight, right?
Can you name for me, Don, one white nationalist article at Breitbart? Just one. Well, I saw that whole build-up segment. I didn't see a single white nationalist article. Not one.
There's an article offending the alt-right, and also the alt-right praises Breitbart.
Yeah, and I think the Black Panthers also praised Barack Obama and the Democrat Party, too. So, your point.
You know, why traffic in that if he doesn't support it?
Will you please stop it with the trafficking crap? God.
It's important to draw a distinction between covering something and defending something. We published an article several months ago explaining the alt-right, talking about which parts of it were more offensive, which parts of it were less so. And that's not defending the alt-right. That's explaining it. In fact, the title, I believe, was something like Explaining the Alt-Right to Mainstream Conservatives. That's journalism. That's not defense or advocacy. So I think it's very important to understand the distinction between those two. And that's a distinction we made very clearly at Breitbart and still make today.
I said traffic in it. I didn't say defend it.
Exactly why this pissant decided to use a word like trafficking rather than supporting, just so that he could throw that in there. I mean, this guy is an absolute hack. A hack. You hear me? A hack. God, Don Lemon, you're a joke.
But anyway, so I want to bring in the other part, the other members of the panel now, so that they can get in on this. Kurt, you worked with Breitbart. You know Steve Bannon. You know, this is a man who said the website is a platform for the alt-right. We've seen the headlines. Can you separate the man from the website? A similar question that that I asked Joel before. Can you separate the man? Does he hold these views?
And one more thing about the alt-right. It is a hashtag and a way of spreading information within the conservative community, and it means alternative right. That is, as opposed to maybe neoconservative or warhawkish right or a lot of other right. It's kind of libertarian-ish, paleoconservative-ish. And yes, some of the nationalists have jumped aboard the train and they share their information. But to be honest with you, really all it is a hashtag of alternative right as non-elitists, as we have had enough of the establishment GOP. But that doesn't mean we're not conservatives. Hence, alternative right. It actually encompasses several different groups and kind of merges all of our information together. So what he's doing here is patently, absolutely, and uncategorically dishonest. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to smear all of this alternative right with just a select few, and it's not working. We're not going to let that happen because he is a absolute unscrupulous lying piece of garbage.
Well, whether he holds these views or not, I don't think there is a separation between Steve Bannon and Breitbart. I think at this point, they're one and the same. And I've said this before, they're now going to go from being the propaganda arm of the Donald Trump campaign to now being the propaganda arm of the federal government. You know, for the first time, you're going to have a White House co-chief of staff, essentially, being able to run a media enterprise right out of the West Wing.
What a little leftist turncoat who infiltrated the right, infiltrated Breitbart, just so that he could turn around and jam.
Hold on a second. Did you notice what he just said for the first time about the White House running media? Look, we know that the White House has been feeding stories to the mainstream media. We have proof of this. Council on Foreign Relations members within the White House and within government have been feeding stories. I mean, they just legalized lying.
Well, what's even worse to that, Tom, if you remember the sequester?
Yes.
Well, we the people get to pay for this crap because they gave $650 million at that time. I think it was 2012. It was during the time of the shutdowns. They gave $650 million for media.
So, and this
we're
is,
paying
this is
for
what
it.
Their narrative is, for the first time, a White House chief of staff is going to be running a press arm out of the White House. Are you kidding me? Really?
Well, you know, and this kills me. This when I heard this clip that you were playing, it really killed me because they white nationalist like that's a big boogeyman. So let's help with that boogeyman. Okay, a nationalist. This is what a nationalist is: an advocate or a believer in nationalism, a member of a political party or a group advocating national independence or a strong national government, meaning your state governments, by the way, guys.
Yep.
Another definition, nationalism, because we've got to cover all these bases, so these CNN people, maybe they'll listen to us and maybe they'll learn some definitions. A feeling that people have of being loyal and proud of their country, often with the belief that it is better and more important than other countries. Now, that's not necessarily completely accurate, but I'm going off Merriam-Webster online. Then it says a desire by a large group of people, such as people who share the same culture, history, and language. Oh, let's see, Americans.
Yes, that's a fact. Yeah, yeah.
To form a separate and independent nation of their own. America's a union of nations. Hello. So why is that big bad boogeyman? Ooh, my God, I'm so scared. The white nationalist, because he has white skin. There are black nationalists. There are nationalists everywhere because we understand that what Don Lemon, this individual, is terrified of is he's terrified his little globalism poof is going to go away, and actually people are waking up to the fact that the states are actually stronger than the federal government. That the federal government can't run without the states supporting it in the first place. And they're terrified over that. And it just drives me nuts to hear this crock of crud. And another definition out of the freedictionary.com, everybody, you can look it up yourself, is devotion, especially excessive or undiscriminating devotion to the interest or culture of a particular nation state.
Yep. And I guess since you and I are both white, that would technically, by Don Lemon's definition, make us white nationalists.
Well, you know, then he would have to be judging by the color of my skin, because actually I have a lot of Native American in me as well. So yep. Is he judging me by the color of my skin instead of the content of my character? I would say
yes. I think that would make him a hater, wouldn't it? Under the Marxist philosophy.
It would, because what if on my birth certificate... Or my
certificate. By the way that you have.
Right. What if it doesn't say white? What if it doesn't say Caucasian? I'm not telling anybody what it says. It's really not their business. But the thing is, I'm talking and referring to Don Lemon. What if it says something else? Well, heck, according to that one lady that was in, what was that she was in? It was either ACLU or NAACP. I can't remember, Tom. It was a long while back. She was a white woman, and she said she was black. So,
Dolezal. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, so how can you claim he's a white nationalist? Have you asked him if he's white?
Well, hey, actually, under the liberal philosophy, you can self-identify as anything you want these days. I mean, there's like 57 genders, like Heinz 57 flavors, you know?
You know,
who was it that identified themselves as an attack helicopter? I like that one.
Oh my gosh, I don't know, but you know, you see what I'm saying? So he hasn't even asked this man, are you white? He said, well, you're a white nationalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We have a caller on the line that might want to chime in on this. Guythar in Oklahoma.
Hi.
Hello, you're on. Oklahoma, Guythar. All right. Okay, well, that's
all. Well, I want to bring something else up, Tom, as well, okay? Because, and a lot of people are smashing KKK, there's 6,000 members in the United States of America, but I digress. Something to the complete and total opposite.
Okay? Oh, I actually get into that a little bit later. By the way, you guys want to see this video,
well,
go to RTR Truth Media on YouTube. Hold on a second. Go to RTR Truth Media on YouTube. You can listen to the rest of that. I'm not going to run that the rest of that on the show, but I get into that. 6,000 in the entire... So you mean to tell me 6,000 KKK members in the entire United States, they really affected the election of Donald J. Trump. If that's the case, the left is dead. Completely
dead. Well, here's my thing on a totally different aspect. Yep. I think we're getting ready to go to break. Are we getting ready to go to commercial?
We are.
I will finish that after a word from our sponsors. Hang in with us, guys. It's going to be an interesting ride tonight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional fastest meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacombera Stewart. You're on with me and Lori Anderson. Anyway, Lori, you were saying.
Right. And so what I wanted to address is, you know, as mainstream or lamestream, I'm not going to call them mainstream anymore because we've seen their numbers and it's amusing. So lamestream media wants to make everybody panic over this white nationalist stuff. So here's the reality, though. Everybody who keeps repeating this junk, they have the right to freely assemble with who they choose, period. No matter what color of your skin, no matter what color of your eyes, no matter what color your hair is. And to get all up in arms because there are 6,000 KKK members within the whole United States of America because we're sure that they're just going to oppress us. You know what? I get so tired of hearing that, and I'll tell you why I get so tired of hearing that. Because the individuals that are spewing that crap to the people are telling the people that we do not think you are overcomers. We do not think you are smart enough to get a job. We do not think that you are smart enough to make good money. We do not think you can do this without the white man getting off of your neck. Now, let me tell you something. My skin color is white, except for, of course, when I'm in a lot of sun, and then I'm pretty daggone dark because I have Native American in me. Cherokee, to be exact. But the reality of the fact is, I'm a female. I could call myself a quote-unquote minority. Do you think I do that? Heck no, I do not. You know why? I am not under anybody, nor am I over anybody. I will not be anybody's victim. I refuse. When you allow yourself to be a victim, then you give them the power. No. If something happens, you use it as a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. You get back up, dust your knees off, and move on. And you show them, no matter what you do to me, no matter what it is, I am going to prove you wrong by succeeding. And when you do, remember this. Success and happiness are truly what your enemies hate to see you being, successful and happy. That is the best revenge, is living well. Would you agree?
I would agree. I really would. You know, yeah. I do have, we have to keep moving on now. I do have a second clip here, getting a little bit off topic of that insanity. I share information on the alt-right hashtag all the time. It's a way of aggregating news that alternative Republicans that don't want globalism and all of that share. I highly recommend all of you check out. That's hashtag ALTRIGHT. Mm-hmm. Anyway, our second clip is a little bit concerning to me. I have a number of concerns coming up with Trump, which is things that we need to cover. I mean, we have to be objective.
Yeah,
clip two would be Cruz meeting with Trump. And I really enjoyed watching this dude backpedal now that he knows that this fella's got the Oval Office. Can you roll that clip, Mike?
Joining us now, a guy that we do not see enough, and he's back in the fray and was just in New York City. We're a little angry. You're around the block. Senator Ted Cruz, welcome back to Fox and Friends.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. Good to be back.
How would you characterize your visit with the president-elect?
Listen, it was very productive. I spent several hours in Trump Tower, had the chance to meet with the president-elect, with the vice president-elect, with senior members of the transition team. And I think we had very good and productive conversations about how we can work together to really deliver on the promises made to the American people. This election was a powerful mandate for change. I think the American people overwhelmingly said, we want to change the path we're on, and I am eager and committed to working with President-elect Trump, to working with the new administration, to get it done, to actually delivering on what we told the voters we would do.
So, Senator, when you say work with President-elect Trump, are you talking about in the capacity as a U.S. senator or in the capacity of somebody on his cabinet or an executive-level job in the administration?
Well, listen, I have an incredible job right now representing 27 million Texans, and I'm incredibly honored to hold that job, and it's a job I take very, very seriously. I'm eager to work with the new president in whatever capacity I can have the greatest impact defending
power.
The principles that I was elected to defend, defending
neoconservative
the principles of freedom, defending the Constitution. And we spent a great deal of time talking about how when the voters give Republicans control of the White House, control of every executive branch, control of the Senate, and control of the House, we got to deliver. I mean, it is time to put
you
up
think?
Or shut up. And I think there are incredible opportunities. I'm looking forward to working very, very closely with President Trump to deliver on his promise to repeal Obamacare. I'm looking to working very, very closely with President Trump to confirming strong Supreme Court justices and protecting the constitutional rights of Americans. Yes. And I think that's what the voters are looking for.
Senator, you were behind closed doors yesterday at Trump Tower. There's been a lot of criticism from media saying that the campaign or the administration is in total chaos. They don't know what they're doing. They have not appointed yet a cabinet position. What was your sense being behind closed doors there with President-elect Trump? Is it total disarray?
No, of course not. I thought that was complete silliness. Now, nobody should be surprised that there are media critics who are trying to throw rocks at the president-elect and at the transition team, that they don't want
like
the president to succeed. What I saw from the president-elect on down to every person at the transition was men and women working hard with an enormous task in front of them, a task of bringing together a new administration.
I can't take anymore. It's killing me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The neoconservative Trotskyite pretending to be constitutionalist Ted Cruz. He drives me nuts. This is the same person that called the Council on Foreign Relations a den of vipers while his wife was a member.
He wanted Obama to hurry up with the Trans-Pacific Partnership as well.
Yes. Yeah, he will say anything. And you know what makes me upset is when he talks. 95% of the time, I really like what he's saying. The problem is that he's absolutely full of bull cakes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
You know, just you know, and that goes back to that nationalism. It really does. Because nationalism, the belief that nations, pay attention people, here's another definition for it, will benefit from acting independently rather than collectively, emphasizing national rather than international goals. Oops. So if you really pay attention to what they're doing, you understand that they are really scared and terrified. You can see this all across. You know, Tom, I think it is absolutely hilarious what we were discussing earlier. You know, there is, to go off of that, Pence, and there was a report, I'm trying to pull it up right this second, but Pence tells the House GOP to get ready to pass sweeping legislation, okay? And this is reported in Bloomberg Politics. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, apparently, Vice President-elect Mike Pence told the House Republicans in a closed-door meeting on Thursday to be ready to move a lot of legislation next year. It says, quote, we're going to move an agenda, unquote, focused on rebuilding the military and improving the economy, Pence told reporters after the meeting. Now, why is this so funny? Tom, you already are aware of this. So we're going to explain to the audience why this is so hilarious. Many people probably have never heard of H.R. 1669. If you haven't, you're getting ready to hear about it. It's the Judgment Fund Transparency Act of 2015, and the sponsor is Representative Stuart Criss. He's a Republican out of Utah, and it was introduced in March 26th of 2015. So this is not something that was just introduced because Trump came on the scene, so get out of that notion. Okay, so what it is this bill, it's called that because it says, be it enacted for the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, act may be cited as the Judgment Fund Transparency Act of 2015. And it is because what they were doing is they were failing to disclose who funds were going to, where they were going, and the American people were not aware of this. This stems back to, of course, which thing? It stems back to the Democrats starting to really panic. And the reason they're panicking, of course, is because of the nice little bit of money that got shuffled for ransom. And, of course, that was not let known to the people, and everybody, of course, found out about that, and they were
nice chunk of which went to Iran, by the way.
Right, and so what happened is that I've gotten a couple of clips for.
Yeah, we'll get to them. We'll get to them. We have our guest that's holding off air there. I want to get to that a little bit later on in the show, but that's what we're going to be touching on that. And that's very important, because one of the things that you know, I have to say, I understand the whole concept of most Americans wanting to rebuild our military and all that. Folks, the problem with this is, and this is one of the concerning things about Pence being involved, and because I believe him to be a neoconservative, and this is a little bit of the problem with, you know, I have no problem helping our vets. The problem that I have is policing the world. That is not the foundation that our republics were founded upon. It was trade with all, ally with none, you know, a small military, only enough to take care of our borders. But, you know, to rebuild our military, if they were talking about only national defense, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But what they're talking about far exceeds. This is, again, this is funding the American military-industrial complex. If you notice that both left and right have been consistently doing all the time. Obama, he tore it down in one aspect, built it up in other aspects. He took it more fascist. He was pouring money into the private sector, into defense contracts and spying and all of that. So all that money's been spent. Now you have a Republican comes back in, and I what I kind of fear is that Pence will be a part of building up the overt military again. Look, we have got to understand the founding tenets that our republics were formed under. This is not one of them. That's how you install totalitarianism. Look back to, you know, the Illuminati's goals. I mean, you have the financial sector in Great Britain. You have the spiritual sector in Vatican. You have the military section here. And they all come together. And a lot of these things that I see happening, like Russia, the Russian president, I'm really happy that we're not about to go to war with Russia. Amen. Thank God that Clinton didn't get in, because that probably would have happened. Okay. Yeah, yeah. As well as with Iran. Okay. I was kind of really hoping that Trump was, you know, like he said, he opposed going into Iraq. He opposes all of these wars. But then you hear the drumbeat start beating already from Pence about rebuilding the military, and I don't know, I'm just a little nervous.
I have an opinion on that, okay, because I've listened to a lot of what's been said about quote-unquote rebuilding the military, but he's also at the same time said about we're not policemen of the world and pulling them out of places. So I think what he's referring to is because our manpower in the military is the lowest it's been in a very, 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 very long time as far as body count. Okay,
so yeah, they poured it into the police. They basically militarized the police.
Right. So that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to, and I'm just going to give benefit of the doubt until he shows different. But what the way that I am seeing it, okay, is that he's wanting to rebuild our manpower. He's not wanting to be the policeman of the world. He's wanting to bring them back the way they're supposed to be. He's wanting to have...
Well, if he took it from the police...
And you don't need... Here's the thing, okay? If you really want to rebuild the military, you don't have to add more money into it. You have to take that wasteful spending and redirect that wasteful spending instead of $900 for a toilet that you can get $189 for, or seriously, and... instead of a bolt that normally, if you go to Home Depot, costs $2-3, instead of paying $25 for it, you see what I'm saying? If they were to redirect the spending, they wouldn't even have to do new spending. And the thing is I understand about we do need to rebuild our military as far as the body count. We do a lot.
Yeah, but we need to call the military, and we need to call the police, and what we've done is militarized the police.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And given them weapons of war to be used against the American public, not against foreign invaders or anything against the American public. I mean, there was an MRAP that pulled a kid over. They thought that he was getting, you know, I hate to get graphic. He thought his girlfriend was going down on him in the car, and that's kind of against law in California. Dude gets pulled over in an MRAP.
Yeah,
I mean,
and so here's the question: Hillary Clinton, all of them, right?
Oh, I know.
What's their famous saying? Weapons of war do not need to be on our streets. What do they think MRAPs are?
Right,
mine resistant, ambush protected. Hello. They are better vehicles that they have for our police, the MRAPs, than a lot of our military that are in hot zones in places around the globe. Now, that's the truth.
Well, you know, they could do what Obama did and give them to ISIS.
Well, yeah, gave them plenty. Gave them plenty. You know, I do have a question, Tom. I know I hate to keep reverting to this, but I wonder if Don Lemon, has he ever put a picture of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump together and realized that she's not a black lady?
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, because they keep saying people are racist because they didn't vote for her. They're the same color.
Yeah, I know.
I just wondered. Sorry, I had to revert back to
I know,
that
guy. I know. All right, now, okay, hold on. We got to get back on topic here. Okay, now, in an article I saw that the, I don't know, I think it was the New York Times or one of those rags, that basically criticized Trump because he didn't let his White House correspondence personnel know that he was going to have a steak dinner in New York City.
Their comment was
that he was the most non-transparent administration in history. He hasn't even taken the Oval Office yet, and it's a steak dinner, and that is what they're hitting him with. So I suppose that he doesn't have the right to travel any more than we have the right to travel, which leads us into our next topic, which we have somebody on the line you've been talking to quite a bit. You want to introduce our upcoming guest and talk about her issue for a minute?
Sure, absolutely. Everybody, this is Rebecca Barrington. She is out of Nevada, and she has some interesting things to let you know about on a case about right to travel. Welcome, Rebecca, to the show. Hello, Rebecca, are you on? Okay, while we're trying to see what's going on, could be a glitch or something like that. We'll cover that media hype that you were. I laughed so hard, Tom, because you know Trump has been reading those WikiLeaks, and let me tell you why they're throwing a fit, people. It's not because their responsibility to be there in case something happens for safety. No, he knows the insiders that are the liars that worked in order to intentionally sabotage his campaign. So therefore, he knows that they are corrupt. Trump knows this. He is not an ignorant person by any means. So what he showed them by doing that is, hey, you're no longer on the inside, and they threw a fit, and it was hilarious, absolutely hilarious in my opinion. He just set them on notice. You're no longer on the inside. You will know what I want you to know, and you are not going to sabotage what is going on. And that's
like my steak dinner.
You know, that's right. You're not going to sabotage my steak dinner, you know. You're not going to make up things. Oh, my gosh, he chewed five times more than he should have on that piece of steak, you know. Just crazy stuff. But that really, to me, and that's my personal opinion, of course, Mr. Trump hasn't told me that or anybody from that hasn't been on the news or anything like that. So, needless to say, that's just my opinion, but I thought it was hilarious because it's really stressing them out that what they used to joke about, what they used to call us, you know, they're realizing they're no longer on the inside. They're not in the in crowd anymore. They are on the outs, and alternative media is mainstream. It is. And they hate that. They can't stand that. And they're absolutely panicked about it.
Saying that he's the most untransparent president in the nation's history because he didn't tell them that he was going to have a steak dinner is probably overstating a little bit.
You know, and that shows you how much of a panic mode they're in when they would actually say something that absolute
panic is the proper
panic is definitely
all right. So we're gonna pass by the right to travel. We were gonna cover that next. If we get our guests back, then we'll cover it in the end on the second hour. Let's keep moving on. She is here.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, Rebecca, I'm glad we finally got you back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good to hear that. So, Rebecca, let's start with a breakdown of kind of the way that this incident all began.
From the stop with the Nevada
yes.
Highway Trooper?
Right, all with right. With the Highway Trooper.
Right, so I was coming home from a job interview, and in this part of northern Nevada, if you're in the rural areas, there is really no way to travel except on a highway. You're kind of obligated. There are very few, quote, country roads. So I noticed a trooper gain on me slowly. He was obviously checking out my the sign, or placard, if you will, that indicates that it's something other than a license plate. Although it's metal and rectangular, same and mounted in the same way, so he's eyeballing that clearly. And then he went ahead and just carried on. And there was a point where I had to turn to go to my community. There was he wanted to see. He hung off at the side of the road and wanted to see which direction I would turn. So he was just waiting there for me. And once I made my right turn, there come the lights. As soon as he pulled me over, I had a pre-printed card stating my rights, and basically invoking my Fifth Amendment right, and I had it just sort of tucked in the top of the window. And even though I was intellectually prepared for such a stop, I wasn't emotionally prepared for it. So the reality of being stopped by, you know, a man with a gun, that starts to intimidate and do all those wonderful things that they're trained to do. Your plans kind of go out the window. I held my own pretty well, but I did end up getting a citation for a fictitious registration and no insurance. I actually do have insurance, but I just, because I am on the front lines of this right to travel movement, I wasn't going to offer those documents to him. So from there, I had my court appearance on Wednesday, and the very first thing, I enter into the courtroom, and my case number is called, and the very first thing out of my mouth when I was asked if I understood my rights, I made sure he knew I was there by special appearance, and that I had some questions to ask before I answered any others. And that set the tone. He immediately the judge immediately took offense to my stance and made sure that I knew that he was the one to ask all the questions. I didn't have any rights whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And he cited...
Of course not.
He cited that the state of Nevada Supreme Court has ruled that what you had to say is not valid. And I'm not going to listen to it.
He actually said that, everybody. I heard it. He actually did say that. Go ahead, Rebecca. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, no worries. And so then he reiterated, do you understand your rights? And I said, no.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We have a break, and we'll be back with Rebecca right after this break. Stay with us to hear this interesting topic.
Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the national
ops. Total ops.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.